Good morning. Welcome to our service of Celtic morning prayer on this beautiful Tuesday, June the 16th, 2020. My name is Pastor Kit, and with me is my son, Justin Greaves.
Good morning.
The commemoration today is Joseph Butler. Joseph Butler was a bishop of Durham in England, and I have an interesting story to tell about him. And we're glad that you've joined us today for prayer. And I'm so thankful that Justin has been able to join us since the 17th of March. He's moving into a new place, and we wish him well and his girlfriend and their two friends. And it's just in Curtis, so it's not too far from Bowmanville. So we're hoping to find a way for him to be able to continue with his voice, even though he wouldn't be present with me in their recording studio or dining room in Bowmanville. He'll be in Curtis, so we'll try to figure a way to do that. So we'll continue to pray together, and we're glad that you've joined us for prayer this morning. I invite you to take a deep breath and enjoy our time of prayer and worship together. Celtic Morning Prayer. Lord, hear my voice when I call to you.
My heart has prompted me to seek you.
I seek you, Lord. Do not hide from me.
Praise your holy name.
God of earth, God of fire, God of the waters of wonder, God of gusting and blustering air, God of the many languages and peoples found throughout the world, Heavenly Father, you who abide in heaven, have mercy on us. O Christ, crucified and risen.
O Holy Spirit, ruler of creation, visible and invisible.
Eagerly I seek you, my soul is athirst for you. Divinity, Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Eagerly I seek you. My soul is athirst for you.
A reading from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. Then Solomon awoke. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, and provided a feast for all his servants. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Next reading is Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let everyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Reflection on the life of Joseph Butler from For All the Saints for June 16th. Joseph Butler, Bishop of Durham. Christians have always claimed that theirs was a reasonable religion, a religion so intellectually cogent that all thinking people should find it compelling. Up until the 18th century, very few in Western Europe challenged this claim. Then a form of rationalism emerged, which quickly gained the initiative and forced Christian intellectuals into the defensive. One of the Christian thinkers to address the rationalist challenge was a clergyman of the Church of England named Joseph Butler, who was made Bishop of Bristol in England in 1738 and Bishop of Durham, England, 12 years later. A quiet man who never married, he devoted his life to study and his income to charity. His studies bore fruit in a series of tightly reasoned works in which he developed a balanced description of human rationality and vindicated the reasonableness of the Christian religion. In so doing, Butler used a framework of ideas which often seem foreign to modern thought. But the Christian faith must be renewed in every generation and defended in the language that each generation understands. And so we remember Joseph Butler today because he did so much to stem the ebb tide of faith in his own age. One of his works, written in 1736, is The Analogy of Religion, Natural and Revealed to the Constitution and Course of Nature. He wrote while he was a parish priest in Stanhope in England. The analogy of religion was directed against the deists. Deists regarded nature as a closed system which operated according to its own laws without any intervention from God. They did not deny the existence of God. They simply maintained that God's existence has no practical bearing whatever on the ordinary course of natural reality or everyday life. It was as if God, at the creation, had built up and wound a nature's clock, walked out of the room, and to leave the clock ticking away on its own forever. In short, the deists repudiated the fundamental Christian belief in divine providence. In response to this position, Butler maintained that the orderliness of nature argues for a higher principle of order. Butler concluded that natural reality acts as a sacrament of supernatural reality. But can we know with rational certainty that this is so? Butler argued with a qualified yes. He argued for a convergence of probabilities. Any one of these probabilities taken by itself would not be sufficient to convince his mind, but taken altogether, they converged in the mind to create a reasonable conviction of superintending divine providence. You can listen to more about present-day apologists for the defenders of the Christian faith in watching YouTube or reading Ravi Zacharias or Tim Keller, two renowned apologists for the Christian faith in 2020. Ravi Zacharias just recently died, but his works are pretty much available on YouTube. In 1738, Joseph Butler was made Bishop of Bristol. The first dramatic revival meetings of the Methodist movement took place in his diocese of Bristol. To deal with the situation, he had an interview with John Wesley on March the 3rd in 1738. This interview was not a success. At the end of it, Butler remarked that, quote, "The pretending to extraordinary revelations and gifts of the Holy Spirit is a horrid thing, a very horrid thing." Unquote. Apart from this episode, Bishop's tenure as Bishop of Bristol was quiet. Amidst his ordinary round of episcopal duties, he busied himself with charities to which he devoted enormous amounts of his own income. It is rumored that in 1747, Bishop was offered the Archbishopric of Canterbury, but he turned it down because he thought that the Church of England as an institution was on its last legs. Whatever the truth of the story, Butler did accept translation to the See of Durham, became the Bishop of Durham, in 1750. Never a strong or robust man, his health began to break down almost at once. He died at Bath, England, on June 16th, 1750. Read you just another short bit on attempting to balance the natural and supernatural by Philip Yancey, which I thought fit in with the interesting encounter between Joseph Butler and John Wesley, the interview that did not go well about the supernatural gifts. So this is from Grace Notes from by Philip Yancey called Advance Echoes. I learned a healthy approach to lifestyle from C.S. Lewis, another Oxford scholar, who had awakened to the reality of another world through such pleasures as Nordic myths, nature, and Wagnerian music. C.S. Lewis sensed in our longings not just rumors, but advance echoes of that world. Flashes of beauty and pangs of aching sweetness, he said, are not the thing itself. They're only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have not visited. Or never yet visited. Unquote. Yancey continues, I realized I needed to smell some flowers and listen to some melodies in order to recognize what clues I might be missing on earth. My attention turned from dividing life into natural and supernatural, or spiritual and unspiritual, and instead I sought to combine the two to bring about the unity that, as I increasingly believed, God intended. What pleasures do I enjoy? I asked myself. I sense a strange thrill in wildness. Dashing down to the safety of timberline over slippery mountain rock as the thunder clouds roll in and lightning bolts strike close by. Coming face to face with a grizzly bear on a trail and realizing that not a single decision I make matters. The bear controls the options. Visiting exotic cultures where I can identify nothing that I can eat, smell, or hear. Or I enjoy domesticated pleasures, also gourmet coffee, high-fat ice cream, peaches and blueberries picked at the orchards. And now that I live in the country, I miss the cultural fare of the city, foreign movies, fine music, theater productions that stay with me for days. I began to listen to my own longings as rumors of another world, a bright clue to the nature of the Creator. Somehow I'd fallen for the deception of judging the natural world as unspiritual and God as anti-pleasure. But God invented matter, after all, including all the senses in the body through which I feel pleasure. Nature and supernature are not two separate worlds, but different expressions of the same reality. From Rumors of Another World by Philip Yancey in his collected Grace Notes. Expressions of faith for a Celtic morning prayer. Lord, you've always given bread for the coming day, though I am poor, today I believe. Lord, you've always given strength for the coming day, and though I am weak, today I believe. Lord, you've always given peace for the coming day, and though of anxious heart, today I believe. Lord, you've always kept me safe in trials. But now, tried as I am, today I believe. Lord, you've always marked the road for the coming day, and though it may be hidden, today I believe. Lord, you've always lightened this darkness of mine, and though the night is here, today I believe. Lord, you've always spoken when time was ripe, and though you be silent now, today I believe. In our intercessions and thanksgivings today, we are mindful of the company of one another, even if it's in this digital form of wherever you are, having a sense of presence in the midst of absence physically from one another. So I just want to identify that moment, and I have had the great pleasure of Justin's physical presence, so I'm thankful to God for him being present with me and as part of my journey and our journey together, and we're thankful to God for that time. So on our prayers this morning, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. Let us ask the Lord for a day of fulfillment and peace.
Lord, have mercy. Let us ask the Lord to teach us to love others as he has loved us.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us ask the Lord for peace and justice in the world.
Lord, have mercy.
Praying especially for migrant farm workers in southwestern Ontario, giving thanks that at least in Durham region, where there are about 3,000 migrant workers, generally speaking, although there may be fewer this year, that they have had no reports of any COVID-19 outbreaks in their bunkies. And we pray for their safety and protection, for their work situations and living, as well as for their employers and operators and managers, and for the fresh fruits and vegetables we enjoy across Ontario, giving thanks for their hard labor out in the sun, and for the justice that might grant them through our government's permanent residency status while they're here, to have greater security in their working situation. So we ask,
Lord, have mercy.
Let us ask the Lord to strengthen and relieve those who are in need. Thank the Lord that Clarice is in fine health, and if it's in the only need she has is simply to give birth to this beautiful little daughter that we're looking forward to, we pray for Clarissa. Do any time as of the 20th of June, the actual due date, that may happen. So we pray for healthy labor and delivery and healthy children and parents. And we greet with great joy when that time comes. For Jen, who's also expecting in July, for other thanksgivings that we may have, and also blessing, protection, and healing for those in need. Biba, who has pancreatic cancer, and a great friend in Nancy. For Tim Keller, one of the apologists of the faith, who also has pancreatic cancer. For those who do research to try and bring about the right kind of medication and treatments for those who have cancer and other illnesses. For Hunter, who has liver challenges as a young man, for his family. Hans, Clifford, Harold, giving thanks for his recent surgery and his recovery from gallbladder surgery. For Pauline and Lillian, and for Tula, recovering from a cracked hip, and for George and Evan and all her family to support her. Those who are celebrating birthdays this week, and for Justin, Tina, and Mason and Siobhan, who are moving over the next few days, and we pray God's safety and blessing in their new neighbors and their life together. For those looking for work, our employment situations, or discernment for their life, that God would direct them. I invite your prayer silently or aloud at this time. Call it for this day as we commemorate Joseph Butler. O God, by your Holy Spirit, you give to some the word of wisdom, to others the word of knowledge, to others the word of faith, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in other ways and other means, even if we don't always understand them. We praise your name for the gifts of grace manifested in your servant Joseph Butler. We pray that by his teaching we may know you and the only true God and Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathering all prayers and praises and thanksgivings into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again,
May God hold you in the hollow of his hand.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you tomorrow.